The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Last couple of weeks, we were talking about God calling and how do you know if you're doing what it is that God wants you to do. And I didn't plan it this way, but I love this about the lectionary. It has a way of continuing little themes that I didn't even know would pop up. And I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit oftentimes. You can find that theme today in today's scripture lections. And I know that Mark is listed, but I'm first going to turn to Deuteronomy 18. You might want to go there. You don't have to. If you want to go on to Mark, you can. But I'm going to look briefly at something in Deuteronomy 18. As you're turning there, if you are turning there, let me give you some context. Moses is on the edge of the promised land, and remember that he doesn't get to go into the promised land. The rest of the people are getting ready to go over into the promised land. It turns out that Deuteronomy 18 has my personal favorite life verse in it. It's a chapter that I think is rich with application for us today. And Moses has all the people gathered there, and the last thing, or at least one of the final things, that this great prophet and deliverer has to say has to do with a prophecy concerning a voice. So, Deuteronomy 18, I'm going to read verse 15 and then verse 18. So, skip over 16, 17. Here's what it says. This is Moses talking. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Then verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you. This is now Moses relaying what God said to him. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. So Moses hears from God, and as usual, it's his responsibility to share that with the people. He hears from the Lord, he speaks to the assembly, and utters, as far as I know, the second prophecy in Scripture concerning the coming of Messiah. He looks into his people's future, and it's not so far distant in some ways, because he says, once you become established in this land that God has given you, here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall away from him. You're going to fall into corruption and sin. But in those days, he says, and they did that almost immediately in some ways, and it's a theme that continues with the children of Israel. But in the midst of that, and one day, he says, God will raise up another prophet who will be like me, who will be like Moses. Now, the word like can mean several different things. It can mean similar to, or it can also mean equal to. And think about all the great prophets, Moses and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, other. They were similar to Moses. They were like him in many ways. They were spokespeople for God, but they weren't equal to Moses. Here's another passage from Deuteronomy. I'm in Deuteronomy 34 now, if you want to turn over there. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. This is what the commentary says in Deuteronomy about Moses and why all those other prophets were not the same as or equal to him. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12 says this. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So generations of the Hebrew people who came after the time of Moses understood that Moses' prophecy was going to mean this. There's a prophet coming who would not be similar to Moses, but equal to Moses. And that is why the people asked John the Baptist if he was the prophet. That's the motivation for their curiosity about that. And that is why the thousands who were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes wondered if Jesus was the prophet who was to come. They wanted to know if this new Moses had shown up on the scene. Remember, other prophecies say that this new Moses would feed the people. Jesus did, but in more ways than merely physically. All right, one of the main things that Moses was known for was what? The Exodus. If that's the case, then that means that the new Moses will lead an Exodus as well, a new Exodus. Moses was also known, because of the scripture we just read, as one who delivered the word of the Lord and then demonstrated God's power, God's actions, with wonderful signs, miraculous signs, incredible signs and wonders. Think back to the time that old crusty Pharaoh did not heed the word of the Lord. Moses said, in effect, not a good decision. Here's what's going to happen. And 10 plagues come and affect the whole land. So that means that when the new Moses comes, the new Moses that the people are waiting for, that new Moses will also speak the word of the Lord and demonstrate God's authority in signs and wonders. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a new Moses. So now, please, go to Mark chapter 1. That's the place that has been appointed for the day. And let's look at the spot where Jesus went to Capernaum and began his ministry. I think you're going to see a beautiful example of the fulfillment of Moses' prophecy here. Mark 1, and we'll start in verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. I think you might want to circle authority. You might want to also circle amazed. If you think about the Sea of Galilee, I'd like for you to compare it to another body of water that you know, Lake Tahoe. The Sea of Galilee is about 64 square miles. Lake Tahoe, I looked this up, is 192 square miles. So that means that Lake Tahoe is 3 times as large as the Sea of Galilee. But if you want to use it sort of as a map, do this. Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee is about where Tahoe Vista or King's Beach is, up there about, 1 o'clock on the dial. Magdala at the Sea of Galilee is about where Tahoe City is. And then Tiberias, many of you have been to the town of Tiberias, is as to the Sea of Galilee as Tahoma is to Lake Tahoe. And the place where the Israeli government has set up a beautiful place, it's a touristy spot, but it's a lovely place where people can renew their baptismal vows. It's called the Yardenit. It's at where about Emerald Bay is, down at the very bottom. All right, you got it? Capernaum up to the right. And that's where Jesus sets up his home base. That's where he's mostly working from in his ministry. So he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, along with everybody else in town, to hear God's word. It's Shabbat. By the way, do you know what Shabbat means? It means he rests. And it comes all the way back to the creation, when on the 7th day, God did what? He rests. The Hebrew for he rests is Shabbat. So the people are going to the synagogue. And by the way, if you go to Capernaum these days, you will see a synagogue there. It is not exactly the synagogue that was the one that Jesus went into, but it is on the same spot. And you can still see some of the foundational stones that would have dated from the time of Jesus. It's a remarkable thing to do. What happens next is really remarkable. Jesus speaks. They remark on it. This is what the people say. His voice has great, what's the word that you circled? Authority. Remember, Moses had said, someone is coming like me. What are they supposed to do? Listen to him. And we get that little phrase at the end of Epiphany when we look at the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice from heaven comes down. The disciples are there with Jesus. And God says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." What? Listen to him. Another wonderful callback to that prophecy that Moses spoke in the long ago. And now, here he is, Jesus, and he's speaking with authority. His voice is somehow different. It's more weighty. It's more consequential. Remember that other prophets or scribes or rabbis would say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God is saying. Jesus, who is the Word, speaks the Word like Moses, but he does it in his own authority. That's the good, I'm going to say it again. Scribes and rabbis would have said, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God is saying. Now the Word made flesh comes and speaks, and he does so in his own authority. You can hear this, for example, on the Mount of Beatitudes. Jesus says, "You have heard it said of old," what? "But I say to you." What an important piece of snippet of scripture that we miss if we don't hear it through the ears of those first century people. That's radical. "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Why? Because everything in history is rushing toward the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is all in all. Everything consists in him. So, here's the voice speaking the word. That's like Moses. Moses did that. But what about the signs and wonders part? The new Moses is supposed to perform miraculous signs and wonders. So how about Jesus? Look at Mark 1, 23 and following. We're continuing along. "Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" I do want you to circle that. The Holy One of God. "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Can you imagine being at church on that Sunday? Wow. Capernaum is not that big. Everybody's at synagogue on Shabbat. And this happens. Wow. Jesus is confronted in the synagogue by a man with an unclean spirit. What does that mean? He's possessed by a demon. And I want you to notice, I bet you didn't miss it, the demon knows who Jesus is. And what does he ask? What's the specific thing that the demon asks? He says, "What are you going to do? Destroy us?" Now, cast your mind back and ask yourself, does that sound like it has connections to another prophecy? You bet it does. In Genesis 3:15, and that's the first place in Scripture where we get a prophecy about the coming of Messiah. In Genesis 3:15, Satan is told by God that the seed of the woman will crush his head. You remember? Jesus is the seed. He's the Son of God and of the woman. That's the place where we get that first prophecy. So the demon has a memory that stretches back. What are you here to do? Have you finally shown up to destroy us? Is this the part where our head gets crushed? So Jesus' mission is to fulfill that prophecy, to right the wrong. You've heard me say it a million times, to upright an upside down world that started back there at the fall in Genesis 3. The demon knew exactly who Jesus was, and he says, and I ask you to circle this, "You are the Holy One of God." Holy One of God. Those words in Hebrew are really important. And here they are in Hebrew. Kadosh la'adonai. Kadosh la'adonai. Holy One of God. It's a name associated with, are you ready for this? The high priest. And also a word that's associated with the Davidic king. The words "holy to God," this is going to give you goosebumps, were engraved on a little placard that was to be placed on the head plate adorning the priest's forehead. Kadosh la'Adonai, holy unto God. Exodus 28 records it. It says, suspend it on a cord of blue so that it may remain on the headdress. It shall remain on the front of the headdress, and it shall be on the forehead at all times to win acceptance for them before the Eternal. Kadosh la'Adonai, holy to God. Right there up front on a priest. Psalm 106:16 says this, in the camp they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. Other translations say, the Lord's holy one, holy unto the Lord. In Psalm 16:10, David is crying out to God, as he often does in the Psalms. And he says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one, also translated holy one, see decay. So David applies the term to himself. He refers to himself as the holy one. And it also applies to his Davidic line that comes after him. Jesus came in the royal line of David. Jesus is the Kadosh la'Adonai. And the demon knows, oh, this gives me goosebumps. The demon knows that Jesus is the highest of all priests. And the demon unveils Jesus' true identity and mission. Jesus comes as the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, and the ultimate king to overthrow the principalities and powers and to destroy the work of our ancient adversary. And the demon knew it. What happens next, though, makes it clear that Jesus is not only equal to Moses, but he surpasses Moses. Jesus, it says, is in a stern voice. Oh, you don't want Jesus mad at you. Jesus says in a stern voice, be quiet and come out of him. And that demon was cast out with a cry and departs in defeat. Moses was a man. He displays God's power and he overcomes Pharaoh. Jesus is God and has all of the power of God, for he is God and he overcomes the demons and ultimately the devil himself. The unclean spirit listened to Jesus' voice and obeyed immediately. Back to Mark 1, this time verses 27 and 8. Mark 1, 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of the Galilee. Don't forget that that region is also associated very heavily, even still to this day, with Gentiles, the land of the Gentiles. And Jesus sets up his ministry there. That'll preach all by itself. Oh, everybody's talking about it. Hey, did you hear about this wonderful new teacher? Did you hear about this new voice? I want you to tune in to that channel because it's really good. This amazing new podcast. His name is Jesus. He has all kinds of authority. News spreads. Social media of the time is all agoggle with Jesus. The voice prophesied by Moses had come, and as he spoke at the synagogue in Capernaum, the people were amazed at the power and authority of his teaching. In Jesus, all that God had promised came to be. Just let that sink in a little bit. Do you believe that? In Jesus, all that God had ever promised came to be and was fulfilled. You need to write down 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. It's a good one. It says, for all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. I love that verse. For all the promises, how many of them? For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Does that mean all of the Old Testament promises too? Or just the New, it's just for the Gentiles. It's just the New Testament. Just the New Testament promises Jesus is the answer and fulfillment of all that, right? Is that right? No. It also means all of the Old Testament promises. What are promises? They're oaths, they're covenants. All that the Old Testament covenants and oaths point to and are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. Do you believe that? It's what the Bible says. All of God's promises find their yes in Jesus. Does that mean only the branches that were engrafted into the olive tree? Only those little branches? Is that the one where Jesus is the fulfillment of? Yes or no? No. Does it mean that all of the promises that have to do with the entire olive tree, both that which came first and those which were engrafted in it, all of those promises are met and fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Yes. Yes. So the word began to spread about Jesus. People began to listen and maybe even believe. But here's where it comes down to listening to and coming under authority, which is the title of my message today. Listening to and coming under the voice of authority. The demon believed Jesus, but he didn't have any choice. He had no choice but to obey Jesus. James 2:19 says this, you know the verse. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Have you heard that verse before? Oh, you believe in God? Super. Great. I can't help but think James is being a little sarcastic. Oh, okay, you believe in God? Super. Good. Great. Because you know what? The demons believe that. And they shudder. And this one even shrieked. The demons believe and obey because they have to. When we hear the voice of Jesus, we're not forced to believe. We have a choice in the matter. Some hear Jesus' voice and reject his teaching. They listen to the voices that they hear in the world. They hear other callings. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. And listen, those voices become those people's authority. How many times do you talk to people today who might have some sort of oddball idea and they're convinced of it because they saw it on a YouTube video or, I don't know, a podcast to listen to, you know, fill in the blank. Others claim to listen to and believe Jesus, but listen, their actions don't show that. Whatever, you heard me say this a couple of weeks ago, whatever's in their cup is going to slosh out when they get bumped. You can say all day long that you believe in Jesus and that you have your name on the roll at the local Baptist church, but if your actions don't match that, then you've not come under his authority. As one commentator has said, I love this, those people want the blessings of obedience without walking through the discipline of obedience. And essentially, that's what Satan offers Jesus at the temptation. All this will be yours if you bow down before me. Well, you know what? It's all going to be his anyway. If he walks, that is to say Jesus, through the discipline of obedience. But there are other people who hear Jesus' voice and they believe in Jesus. And that's so much deeper than some sort of mental exercise. For so many people, their faith is every bit up here, and it's some sort of intellectual exercise. It's some sort of thing that happens in the mind only. And these people believe in Jesus, so much so that they come under his authority. And that kind of belief comes not from fear or some sort of tradition that says that you've got to do these 17 things, but not those 18 things. Some sort of performance-based Christianity. It doesn't come from that. That kind of belief, that kind of obedience comes from love. The desire to be in relationship with Christ. John Piper once said that delight is far greater tribute than duty. I love that. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. Delight is higher tribute than duty. In John 14, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Listening to and coming under the authority of Jesus demonstrates our love for Jesus. Jesus came like the prophets and scribes and rabbis to say not, thus saith the Lord, but rather be the word who speaks in his own authority. Jesus came like the priests and kings of the Old Testament, but not marked with the words holy unto the Lord, but rather to be the Holy One of the Lord. Jesus came like the prophet Moses to deliver us, not from bondage to Pharaoh, but to be actually in and of himself the deliverance from slavery to Satan and sin and self. Jesus came like the prophet Moses to feed us not with manna from heaven, but to be the living bread come down from heaven. Jesus came to be in and of himself the ultimate wondrous sign, and to be in and of himself the ultimate authority over all things in heaven and on earth. And Jesus came like the prophet Moses to lead a great exodus. But it wasn't a little trip across the desert to a little strip of land in the Middle East. The one in whom all things consist and hold together, the one to whom everything points, came to lead the ultimate exodus to the ultimate promised land. And where is that? It's eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. Are you listening to him? Are you coming under his authority? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I bow in awe of who you are and what you are. My mind can scarce get around it. All I can say is thank you. I pray for all of us, starting with me, that we will not only listen to your voice, but demonstrate our love for you by obedience and coming under your authority. That may look upside down to the world. That might be so crazy to this world, but I don't care, because I want to participate with you and your purposes for uprighting an upside down world under your authority. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.